Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Make this new school year an opportunity for your kids to learn important life skills with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely while parents keep an eye on kids' money habits. Greenlight also helps families get into their fall routine with a chores feature that lets parents assign chores and pay kids' allowance when they check them off. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod. Greenlight.com/pod.
What is going on, Bills Mafia? How is everybody feeling? Welcome into the Overreaction Sports Podcast. My name is Joe Miller, and you can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. And just like that, it was over. And just like that, the season was over. How you feeling? How is this day, wherever this podcast finds you, whether it finds you in the car or around a cup of coffee on your laptop or maybe on your iPods, your AirPods at the gym, how is this game settling with you? How is the end to this season settling with you? I'm going to be honest with you. I woke up on Sunday morning. I get up on Sunday mornings about 5:30. I get up almost every day at right around 5:30. And I woke up, I'm standing in the shower on Sunday morning, and I find myself staring at my feet, water pouring over the back of my shoulders. And I just find myself angry. Did you find yourself, do you still find yourself angry? It would have been one thing, right? It would have been one thing, you know, if they were completely outmatched, if it was the Jaguars game. I heard somebody talking today, whether it was on a podcast or it was on the radio, I'm not sure, just talking about, had it been a blowout loss and the game was somewhat forgettable, if it was a forgettable game, it would probably have been better. Don't mistake what I'm saying. Clearly, we've talked at length, ad nauseum, on this show over the last several months about what our expectations for the season were. My expectations were 9-7. 9-7 was where I thought we would be, where I felt as though we would finish the season. And I told all of you, if we finish better than 9-7, and we did, it'd be a gift. If we made the playoffs, it'd be a gift. I've been very open, very vocal about the fact that I believe inside of me that this team is still 1 year away from being a true playoff contender, potentially Super Bowl contender. I don't believe that the process has been fulfilled at this point. I don't believe that we are at the end of the script or at the end of the notes for Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean as far as what they drew up when they sat down in front of the Pegulas and said, look, this is what I want to do. I don't think it was an end of year three. That's it. Playoff, Super Bowl, end of year three. But that doesn't remove the fact that I don't want to say hurt. I'm just disappointed. I'm upset. That game was a roller coaster of emotions more so than probably any game I have ever watched. The fact that there was multiple times when I thought we were out of it, There was multiple times when I thought we were back in it. And the reality was, we were back in it. There were several times. I have never seen a game, and I've watched a lot of football. I've never seen a game where literally blame for losing, for not winning that football game, for not securing a victory, for not making the one play. You know, coaches always talk about it, and we hear it on radio spots, about how somebody has to step up and make the play. Somebody has to make the play. The amount of opportunities in that game to make the play. Astonishing. Absolutely. The chances we had and the amount of blame that can be spread, not only across the defensive players, the offensive players, the offensive line, the defensive line, Josh Allen, John Brown. The only person that's probably not to blame is Devin Singletary. The coaching staff, Brian. What is Brian Daboll doing? What is Brian Daboll doing? Time is running out in the first half. We've got the ball with 30 seconds left. First and 10 inside the 25. Brian Daboll calls a run play. With one timeout left, Brian Daboll calls a run play to Frank Gore. And then he did it again. It was either in the fourth quarter or in overtime. Frank Gore again is on the field. It's second down and 10. They run a run play to the left side. Gore loses 3 yards. It's now third and 13. Inexcusable. That dude... There's a lot of chatter. There's a lot of comment. There's a lot of conversation on Twitter and has been for some time about Brian Daboll. I'm not here to tell you that Brian Daboll's a bad coach. I'm not here to tell you that Brian Daboll is not a creative mind. I'm not here to tell you that Brian Daboll is not responsible for Josh Allen's development. I'm not here to tell you that Brian Daboll is not great friends with Josh Allen. I'm not here to tell you that next year Josh Allen may not be better off without Brian Daboll or maybe better without Brian Daboll. What I'm here to tell you is Brian Daboll is not good at calling plays during a football game. He has shown this year and even probably last year a unique ability to not find rhythm and flow inside of a football game. He finds ways to pick the play or two or three that either disrupts whatever the offense is doing, or he finds a way to, when the team has disrupted or shot itself in the foot after they've stacked a couple plays together, Brian Daboll finds a way to basically, and then the team commits a penalty or something like that. He does not have the play to get them back on track. He's not a great play caller. So wherever you are on the Brian Daboll field, and you can be wherever you want to be, it doesn't matter to me. I don't have a say in this, neither do you. Neither does anybody listening to this podcast. Wherever you are on the Brian Daboll train, you have to come to some resolution at some point and realize and just admit the man does not have a flow for a football game. Does not. So the game. That game was over so many times on both sides of the football. But it was over so many times primarily on our side of the football. I can think of several instances, and the one that hurts the most, the one I've talked about the most on Twitter, the one that I've shown pictures of, the one that, and I have yet to rewatch the game, and I'm going to, and when I do, I'll shoot video, or I'll take a video and I'll post it up. That quarterback sweep to the right-hand side, the second one they ran in overtime, the second one they ran in the game, actually it might have been the third one they ran in the game, but the one that they ran in overtime, the second one that was effective. Josh Allen is still running. Nobody has still caught Josh Allen if number 41 is picked up. There is a photograph that I posted on the Overreaction Sports Twitter today, or somebody else posted it, Marty Finucane, or Finucan posted it on my Twitter. And it's the downfield shot, not from Josh Allen or the offense's perspective, but from the so it's upfield from the defense's perspective. The wall of blockers, everybody's sealed off. Dawson Knox is standing there. Not standing, running. 41 is in his face, and it looks like Dawson Knox is staring right at him. Mitch Morse is right behind Dawson Knox, trailing him. staring at number 20 down the field. I believe Dawson Knox is staring at number 20 down the field. Cody Ford is staring at number 20 down the field. 41 runs by both of them. Dawson Knox and Mitch Morse, and basically plants Josh Allen into the earth. If that block is made, if that block is executed, if somebody just steps up and makes the play, we're playing football this weekend. And that's just one of about 10 different situations and scenarios. John Brown misstepping on the sideline two different occasions. The amount of blame that can just be spread across this entire football team is unbelievable. And I think that's why I'm angry. Like, you talk about, we beat ourselves. We didn't execute. And, you know, players say it and we say it. You know, oh, they just went out there and laid an egg. There was no egg laid. The game wasn't too big for them. Yes, there was a slight defensive collapse. And if you want to talk about the defense, and as much as they gave up two touchdowns and whatever else you want to talk about, they gave up two point conversions as well. And let's not even talk about the 3rd-and-18 play in overtime. Let's not even talk about the sack on Deshaun Watson that wasn't a sack when Milano and Saran Neal got there at the same time and somehow he magically spins out of it. No, they didn't hit. They didn't bring him to the ground. The tackling in that game was not great. Even when we were up 16-0, the defense was not making great tackles. The only good thing was the Texans weren't wanting to tackle anybody either. So I'm still feeling it. It was an amazing football game. It's when you want to talk about entertainment value, it was the best game of the weekend. For all the right reasons and for all the wrong reasons, it was the best game of the weekend. But I just can't shake it. There's a carryover effect for me. I don't know why. I was supposed to shoot this or record this podcast on Saturday. I was supposed to record this podcast on Sunday. And here I found myself Monday night, and I put it out there yesterday that I was going to record it today, and I backed it up this morning, and I only did it to make myself do it. Because I'm in one of the luxury positions where I can just walk away from it. It's like I'm sick. Like I can't do this. Like I don't get paid to do this, so it's not like I have to report to work at 6 o'clock in the morning to WGR at 6 o'clock in the morning on Monday morning and talk about something I don't want to talk about. But there's a carryover effect for me, and there's a carryover effect for all of you guys. I know it. I'm reading it on Twitter. How about the mysterious black-caped refs that came out of nowhere? Have never walked on an NFL field mid-game ever in the history of the NFL. The actual head official makes a call in the end zone. Hey, bro, don't throw that football at me. He throws the football at him. The ref is like, that's a live ball. The Bills come down, jump on the ball. Touchdown is quote-unquote awarded or a safety, whichever you prefer. I don't care either way. Mysterious dude in a black jacket walks on the field to correct the call. Where was that in the Green Bay Seahawks fight over the ball and referees made a decision on who had the catch? Where was that in the game last year with the Saints and the Rams when Nickell Robey Coleman committed pass interference? Where was that in every single opportunity or occasion that we have had in the NFL where a bad call was made and a game was affected because of a horrible trash call or whatever you want to call it, one way or the other? Where was the mysterious dude in the black jacket that day? Why did he all of a sudden show up on Saturday? I'll hang up and listen. And the funny thing is the players don't know who that guy is either, I don't think. And by the way, there wasn't one of them, there was two of them. If one wasn't enough, we're bringing two guys to let you know that, oh, by the way, Mr. Head Official, that can't be the call. And that's how I'm going to say it. That can't be the call. Because the rule specifically states that the person receiving the ball has to apparently give himself up physically, whether he takes a knee or falls on the ground, gives himself up. What happens when Julian Edelman is standing back there next year, catches the ball, nonchalant, puts his arms out, catches the ball, nonchalantly walks to his left. Everybody kind of loosens up, and then Julian Edelman takes off for the for the other end of the field when nobody's paying attention. You've seen it happen. You've seen it happen on field goals. You've seen it happen on punt plays. We're literally at that point now where this is going to happen next year, or maybe even in the playoffs this year, where somebody's going to go back, receive the ball, act like they've given themselves up. I put my arms out, which is not a legal signal for anything. Sticking my arms out in a cross fashion that signifies to my teammates that I'm not returning this is not a signal to the NFL officials at all. What happens when the dude does that, catches the ball, takes five steps to his left, not a big deal, and then takes off? Because that's what we're looking at right now. There's a lot of carryover for me. There's just a lot of carryover for me. And I'm thinking there's a lot of carry. Am I happy? Am I thankful for this season? Yes. Am I excited for what I saw this season? Yes. Am I overreacting? I don't know. And I tweeted at one point in the middle of all this freaking chaos on Saturday. When you're trying to exorcise demons that have lived in you for 20 years, they never come out easy. And by God, they did not, and they still have not come out. We exorcised some demons this year, and there's some rights that we wronged. But there's just something about that hump that we just can't get over. And I'm going to be really excited when the day comes, and it's coming, ladies and gentlemen. It's coming when we're not having to play against everybody in the stadium, everybody on the other side of the field, and the refs, and luck, and karma, and every situation, and you name it. The day's coming. There's a reckoning coming for the Buffalo Bills. This team is going to be good. Josh Allen is going to be good. The amount of trash that I'm reading on Twitter about Josh Allen getting exposed and whatever else you want to say. And, for every one great throw he has, he's got 5 or 10 head scratchers. That is so not the truth. And if you are a Bills fan and watch them for at least one game, that is not the truth. And you know it. This kid can play football, and he was throwing darts and dimes all over that field. Yes, there was a couple crazy plays like that lateral that he tried to do to Dawson Knox. But I'll be honest with you, the thing that they didn't show was that if Dawson Knox somehow gets that ball, there's nobody in front of him. So as much as it's a no moment, and it's a definite no moment, don't ever do that, Josh Allen. At some point, you look down the field and you're like, I see why he did it. It was just backyard football, and it was a horrible decision in a playoff game. We saw some magical things this year, and I'm going to get into a little bit of them. But I had to start the show with this game, right? I just can't pretend like this game didn't happen. Our offense averages 19 points. Magically, guess how many points we scored? 19. 19's not enough. One touchdown, five field goals? 1, 2, 3, 4. No. One touchdown, 4 field goals, 19 points. Josh Allen drove the ball effectively down the field 5 times for scores. But at some point in time, 1 touchdown, 2 touchdowns is not enough. They're going to have to do something to get better next year. And I think they will. And frankly, for me, I don't know that it matters if Brian Daboll stays or not. I don't think that Josh Allen at 23, 24 years old next year is somehow regressing because he has a new offensive coordinator. These guys are professionals. It's funny to me that the same guys that tell you on Twitter that these guys are professionals and they are paid to execute and they've got to execute the plays that are called are the exact same guys that in the same sentence are like, Josh Allen's going to be negatively affected if Brian Daboll's gone. Well, wait a second. Josh Allen's a professional. He gets paid to execute plays. What does it matter who his coordinator is? It either matters or it doesn't matter. I should probably move on, or I'm going to sit here on this game. I've been talking about it for 18, 19 minutes already. I need to probably just move on. But I'm still feeling it. I'm still the opportunity that was there. I think this game has me worse than the Music City Miracle had me. I think by now I had let it go. I think 2 days after the Music City Miracle, I had let it go. I think after the wide right kick by Scott Norwood, I think 2 days later I had let it go. I think 2 days after the Brett Hull skate in the crease scenario, I think I had let it go. I'm having trouble to carry over. But alas, great things are in front of us. Great things are upon us. And this team is not the last you've heard of this football team. And that's the best part. But I want to get to some people who have tweeted me and talked to me. Basically, let me know how they're feeling. I want to read some tweets to you. So this is how the Twitterverse, not all the Twitterverse, but some of the Twitterverse is feeling after that game. At Pamadonna, this is Pamela. She's a great friend of the show. Pamela is a big reason that I'm still doing this show. She has been a super great encourager to me and has helped keep my chin up. As fun as this is and as cool as this is, you know, it can be difficult at times. It can literally be, it's hard to find an hour to cut out to do this. The self-promotion that goes into it and trying to do previews and edits and just different, well, I don't really do edits, but to edit things down, to do previews and like create those videos and like try to get some traction and get on your at Overreaction SP1 site and like follow people. So hopefully they'll follow you back. Like there's a lot of work to this. So Pamela on the air, Pamela, if you're listening to me, and I know you are, thank you. Thank you for every word that you've said to me. Thank you for every tweet that you've tweeted at me. Thank you for everything as it pertains to this season and just the support and the love that you have shown, the retweets, the likes, just everything that you've done for me, Pamela. Thank you so much. And there's a couple of you that I probably need to thank, but Pamela being the first tweet that I got today is the first person that I'm tweeting, or I should say that I'm thanking. So Pamela says to me, with their inconsistency, we have also seen their capability as a team more, Allen's capability. This is their first full year together, and they got into the playoffs. Allen's first full year. She's dead on, everybody. We forget that in this. That like Allen's only played one full season. That was this year. He has grown so much, I know he will only get better. The whole team will. And she can't wait. I can't wait either. I'm excited for next year. Testel at TEESTELL. He says, he's trying to get over this game. He says, no, I'm trying, but it still hurts. It's the if we did this and the only if we. And man, it's just not sitting right. And that's where I'm at, bro. That's literally where I'm at. I'm also looking forward to seeing how Josh develops from this loss. He's already saying all the right things, but Josh has a propensity for saying the right things. And I'm not saying that he has a propensity for saying the right things and not doing the right things. He does. He does both. I believe he will grow from this. I believe that he will learn from this. I believe that there are takeaways. I think that when he says that he has or will have a chip on his shoulder until next year, I think he will. This is going to sting. He left some stuff out there. And at the end of the day, the people around him left a lot of stuff out there too. He was let down a little bit by his teammates, both on the offensive side and the defensive side. And don't get me wrong, at the same time, he let some of his teammates down. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how Josh develops next year. The Wiley veteran, at the Wiley veteran, W-I-L-Y veteran. And this is Marty Finucane. This is my buddy Marty. Marty just says, and he actually is the one that sent me the picture of that quarterback sweep to the right where the number 41 plants Josh Allen into the earth because three people failed to block him. At least two, a third probably could have gotten to him. And he just basically sent me that picture and he said, I'm still sick about it. Marty, I'm with you, bro. People have tweeted me and said, if that block is made, and Josh didn't even see the guy coming. Like, the dude was a ghost. I said it to Rick today. Rick was texting me about it. The dude was a ghost. Nobody saw him. And Josh Allen didn't see him until the last second. Plants Josh Allen into the ground. Helmet to helmet contact. whether you want to say he targeted, I don't think he definitely dipped his head and lunged forward. Josh dipped his head too. I don't know. There was definitely helmet-to-helmet contact. I believe, as some have said, that Josh got rattled probably in that play. Probably should have been pulled off and checked. I don't know that he was the same afterwards. Duh, but I still believe, as much as people think that, you know, Josh gets 20 yards there, we kick a field goal, it's over. I think he's still running. I think he scores a touchdown, is the hero of the game and the hero of the weekend. And this whole conversation is different. The national media conversation is different. My buddy Spencer B at SCB_sports just sent me the picture of the dude from I don't watch The Office. Michael Carrington's character, is that his name? Michael Carrington, Evan Baxter from Bruce Almighty, just of him with his tears in his eyes, the gif, tears in his eyes and smiling, but it hurts. This time next year at Go Bills UK, I got to give this guy props too. Another one of my supporters. He has just been super. He right there with me the whole way this year. And I just thank you, bro. He says it's hard because we have had so many chances, or we had had so many chances. And if just one goes differently, we win that game. It would have been easier if we got blown out. He's right. It would have been easier. It would have been embarrassing for 10 minutes, but it would have been easier. Proud of the season we had, despite expert predictions, and excited about what the next step is in this team's development, what it looks like. Yeah, dude. Totally. Totally, totally. I had one more. Where'd it go? For my buddy Saxa Dave. I got to read it. Oh, I functioned over to the wrong side of my Twitter. Hang on a second, everybody. This is not edited for primetime. So just be patient with me. Dave Thorpe at Saxa Dave. He sent me a huge drunken rant. It was awesome. He DM'd it to me because he was upset and he couldn't settle down. He's in Britain, so he's in the UK as well. So he's hours and hours ahead of us. So it's the middle of the night for him. This game, dude, I had a hard time sleeping Saturday night. I couldn't let it go. And he sends me and I won't read it to you, but he sends me the longest message he DMs me this long message and he just sends me today. My only add to my drunken rant is I'm most excited. Looking forward to seeing playoff football at One Bills Drive. And Dave Thorpe, Dave's been awesome. Dave has been a great follower of mine this year, and it has been tremendous. Even for just the 3, 4, 5 people that I know have been super, like, with me the whole way, and you guys know who you are. I've named 3 of you, and then Rick is another one, at Rick US. Thank you guys so much just for the encouragement. Thank you for pumping me up and kind of keeping me in this thing. There's a lot of doubts, and I'm putting myself out there, right? And the reality is there's a lot of great sports content, and there's a lot of great Bills content out there. So this isn't necessarily easy, and I'm not trying necessarily to measure up against anybody. I'm trying to do my own thing. I'm trying to be a little bit different. I want to be on the fan side of things. I do want it to be somewhat entertaining. I think I've learned a lot. I think I've gotten a lot better. I think my content has gotten better. I think my delivery has gotten a lot better. And the reality is every step of growth in this process that I have made is because of listeners like you guys. So thank you. Appreciate it more than you know. Couple quick things. Actually, not a couple quick things. I have 2 things I want to do. So the first thing I want to do is I want to talk to you about what I'm overreacting to as it pertains to next season. And it's good. For those of you that are not 46 years old like me, for those of you that are not older than dirt, losing your hair, have back pain, knee pain, and every other kind of pain you can think of. You don't remember 1989 when Thurman Thomas came to the Buffalo Bills. Ronnie Harmon drops that pass. We let him go. The Bills draft Thurman Thomas. And Thurman's first year, rookie year, was good. He flashed talent. And it was like, hey, wait a second. This guy has something. This kid's good. And I'm going to tell you that one thing I'm overreacting to as it pertains to 2020 and the season upon us is Devin Singletary. There was a very similar eerie, for those of you that are old enough to remember, parallel to the way that the Bills used Therm back then, his rookie season, to the way that the Bills used Devin this year. They didn't overuse him. They didn't use him too much. He didn't, you know, carry the ball 35 times per game. The entire offense didn't go through him in his rookie season. There was very much a getting his feet wet, seeing what he can do. And Devin Singletary is a special player. He does that drop his foot into the ground thing where he stops and shifts, and I think his knee is going to buckle, and like completely loses defenders all over the place. Brian Baldinger did a little takeaway from the game on Saturday where literally the phrase that Brian used, and it was true, was look at the defenders, the defensive linemen, the defenders, the Texans defenders that Devin Singletary is leaving in his wake. And there was like literally a line of people that were all connected and touching, wearing dark blue jerseys, like six or seven of them, as Devin was just working his way through them. And they were all basically trying to get a hold of him. He was slipping out of their tackles and they were falling to the ground. The kid is special. The kid is special. And Brian Daboll, if he's here next year, needs to use the dude. Like, run him into the ground. We're not going to be saving him for year nine. Use him. He should have been used this year. He should have been used Saturday. But let's be honest, we've seen Brian Daboll do this before. Browns game. And every other game where Devin Singletary averaged 6 yards a carry. What do the Browns do? Or what does Daboll do? Throw the ball. Another thing I'm overreacting to, Josh Allen. Josh Allen, for me, is still progressing, and we saw it. We even saw it on Saturday. So Josh Allen gets Duke Williams into the football game, finally. And whatever you think about Duke Williams, I said in the last show after the Jets game, if you want to like Duke Williams. I like Duke Williams. Did Duke Williams drop a couple key passes on Saturday? Yes, he did. Does Duke Williams drop a couple key passes on Saturday if he's playing the last eight weeks straight? Maybe not. But regardless of what you think about Duke Williams, Josh Allen has a comfort level. Josh Allen has a trust in Duke Williams that he does not have in anybody else on that football team. Josh Allen threw three or four passes to Duke Williams that were very much contested balls. Josh does not do that to John Brown. Josh does not do that to Cole Beasley. Josh does not do that to Dawson Knox because you drop it. But the reality is Josh has trust with Duke, and I'm excited to see Josh do more, carry over, and do more of what we saw him do with Duke on Saturday, which is we get him a receiver that he can trust that when the defender is draped on his back, that if Josh throws the ball, his guy's going to come down with it. That's another step in this progress game. That's another step in the progress of Josh Allen, and I am excited to see and just continue to unravel and unfold the layers of Josh Allen. Hopefully, as we're unfolding the good layers, we're folding up the bad layers. But I'm excited, really, really excited, just to see Josh Allen's progress into next. And I'm going to be here for it. I told you guys I would call it if it got to the point where Josh Allen is not the guy. I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking. But I also told you that I don't think we're going to know who Josh Allen really is or begin to really know who he is until about week eight next year. And oh, by the way, the Bills are going to have to get him some help. He can't do this by himself. There's still some moves and some changes that need to be made on that offensive line. He needs a big wide receiver. I don't care what anybody says. John Brown and Cole Beasley, as much as I love them as much as you love them. He needs a true number one guy. I think personally, and this is just sidebar, I think the Bills should get A.J. Green this year. But Joe, he's an injury nightmare. Yes, he is. So let me finish. I think they should get A.J. Green and they should draft a young rookie stud. They have the draft collateral to do it. They've got the spots to do it. You bring A.J. Green into this team and a young stud to teach him how to play and how to do the things in the NFL that he needs to do. And then guess what? It doesn't matter if A.J. Green gets hurt. If he stays healthy, you've won the lottery. If he gets hurt week 10, it doesn't matter because hopefully he's grown this kid into something. I'm very much afraid. There's only so many Mike Evans in the NFL. There's only so many guys that come in like Julio Jones and week one, Randy Moss, have an impact. That doesn't happen very often. As much as like, well, this draft is full of guys. Really? How many of them are going to be immediate impacts, number one receivers? One of them? How do we know that the one that we draft is the one that's going to be the good one? Because we all thought it was Sammy Watkins, and then there was a lot of people that thought it was going to be Kelvin Benjamin, and guess who it turned out to be? Mike Evans. Yes, Mike Evans was highly touted coming out of the draft. Sammy was higher. And Kelvin had a crazy, his rookie year, remember that catch he had in the Bills preseason game. He had a crazy season that first year, had a crazy preseason. He outplayed Sammy Watkins that first year. But from jump, Mike Evans was the guy. So he needs help. But I'm excited about Josh Allen's progression and what he's going to be next year. I'm excited about the fact that this team, I'm overreacting to about the fact that this team doesn't get afraid of the big stage. We have spent 20 years in big stage purgatory. We finally have a coaching staff and a team and a quarterback that's not afraid to be on national television, and that it's not too big for them. They come into these games excited to play. They want to show off. They want to show out, and they do. And here's what's up, Bills family. We're going to get some primetime games next week or next year. And the reason that we're going to get primetime games next year is because A, the Bills are not afraid of the big stage, and B, every time the Bills are on the big stage, people watch. It has been stated multiple times that the NFL is better when the Buffalo Bills are good, and it's true. The Dallas Cowboys might be America's team, but people want to watch the Buffalo Bills play football. It's reminiscent. There's teams that people in this country want to watch. The Packers are one of them. There isn't a single person, unless you're a closet NFC North fan who's a Vikings fan, Bears fan, or Lions fan. There isn't a person on this planet that if the Packers are playing, you're not like, hey, it's the Packers. I love watching the Packers. Everybody wants to see the Packers play. The NFL is better when the Packers are good. It's the truth. And the same thing is true for the Buffalo Bills. So I'm excited about that. The national exposure, everything. I'm really, really, really overreacting to just what we're going to see next year. Hopefully the process continues, right? Right. All right, so to wrap this show up, we're 35 minutes in. And what I want to do real quick is I just want to do a quick review. I want to do a quick review of every game this season. And this is literally not going to take a long time. We have had some incredibly special moments. And I took just a minute today to kind of go through. And I basically just put, you know, what week it was, who we played, and the play that stuck out to me. Or what kind of the story, not the story of that game was, but what happened in that game that kind of stuck out to me. It was just basically the thing emotionally that got me or jerked my memory first. And it's not to say that what I put down here is somehow the best play of the game or somehow the most notable moment. It was just for me. And I want to do the same thing with you. So as I say the games, as I say the week, I say the team, I say the score, I want you to think to yourself, what stuck out to you about that game? This could be fun. Week one, we played the Jets in New York. The score was 17-16. That was the game with all the turnovers. For me, what stuck out to me, my first memory of that game was the quick passing attack. We came out, and I think it was three or four drives where it was three-step and fire, five-step and fire, three-step and fire, five-step and fire. Like, Josh Allen was on fire, and yes, there was a couple unfortunate turnovers. We eventually overcame those turnovers and won that game, but I think he had two fumbles and an interception or a fumble and an interception. Regardless, what stuck out to me with that game was watching Josh Allen execute a football game or an offense that we didn't see him do last year. And so for me, that was really exciting and really promising. And to be honest with you, I think they should have stuck with that offense for the whole season. They didn't. I'm not sure they stuck with it for the whole better part of that game. But I just remember just not believing my eyes when that game started. At the way, the rhythm. That was one of the few times that offense actually had rhythm. They kept shooting themselves in the foot, but they had rhythm. Would love to know what your greatest takeaway from that game was. Week two, and they're not always Bills related. Week two, we played the Giants. We beat them 28-14 in New York City, or in New Jersey. My big takeaway on that one was Saquon Barkley's opening drive. He ran all over us. He went down the field, and I was like, holy crap, it's going to be a long day. And then what happened? The defense shut him down completely. That was remarkable. And it was a sign for what this team or who this team was going to be. Awesome. Week three, 21-17, the Bengals game at home. I was at that game, the home opener. For everybody, it's the Dawson Knox angry run, right? That's the first thing that pops in your mind. Dawson Knox angry run. Thank you, GMFB. The Trey White interception to seal the game probably helps. Week four, the loss at home against the Patriots. For me, that game, for you guys, it might be the interceptions. For you, it might be Josh getting whacked in the head. For me, it was the block punt. I am not a supporter of Cory Bohorquez. Everybody here knows it. I've not been quiet about it. There was a stat sheet that came out last week that basically told the truth about the situation, that Cory Bohorquez is, in fact, the worst punter in the league, which I've been telling you all year. But it was just the ineptitude of our special teams, not seeing those gunners come in, or I should say those blockers come in, and then give up that stupid punt block, and it cost us the game. We lost that game by 6 points, and they had a 7-point blocked field goal, or blocked punt, rather, for a touchdown. So for me, that was my glaring memory of that game. Week 5, Bills Titans, 14-7, we won. That's the Duke game, right? Finally, we get Duke. He catches that touchdown on that little in route, that little slant. But for some of you, and this was a very close second for me, that's the Phillips game. That's the Phillips 3 sacks game, where he was just a disrupting factor. He was a disruptor in that game, and he was fit to be tied. Week 6, Dolphins versus Bills. Bills win 31-21. That's the Micah Hyde onside return kick for a touchdown, or onside kick return for a touchdown. I put out there on Twitter a little bit ago, like, what was the most special moment for you of the season? And somebody actually said that. The onside kick return for a touchdown by Micah. That was a special moment. That was literally what stuck out to me in that game. Week 7, the Bills play the Eagles in a hurricane. The Bills lose 31-13. For me, outside of the wind and the craziness of that game, what sticks out to me is Miles Sanders, whatever it was, 60 or 70 yard run where he ran that ball through a hole the size of you could drive a truck through it. Week 8, the Redskins game, 24-9, we beat the Redskins. There wasn't much about this game that was special. This was a hard game. The things that stuck out to me in this game was Cory Bohorquez was really bad. Really bad. It was the Haskins game. Haskins' first football game. First full start, rather. And I think the biggest measurable takeaway for me was Devin Singletary. Devin Singletary was unstoppable in that football game. Unstoppable in that football game. He was so good. Week 9 against the Browns, 19-16, we lost that game. The thing that sticks out to me is the eight straight plays on the goal line that the Bills defense held up on. Right? That's your takeaway. Like, holy cow, what a magical, special moment those 8 plays were. It was just incredible to watch it happen. Week 10, Dolphins. We beat the Dolphins in Miami 37-20. That was the dime pass. Josh Allen is trash, they say. Meanwhile, he throws that pass and puts the ball right in the hole to John Brown. And it was somewhat of an audible. It was a check at the line, right? It was a check with me. What an incredible pass. What a special moment that was. Week 11, Broncos. I have no notes. That was the Brandon Allen game at home. The defense was stifling. They totally crushed the Broncos, and the offense was good. They just went out and executed a game. And like nothing special, crazy happened. They did a pretty decent job. I have no notes. I don't remember anything great being about that game. That was the game where Josh Allen broke some ankles of some guys, some defenders, and then he took the ball to the right and ran it out of bounds after like a 18-yard or 11-yard gain or something like that. But I have no notes. That might be the play of the game for me, the Josh Allen breaking ankles. Week 12, Cowboys game, Thanksgiving. Bills win 26-15. It's one of two plays. There's two plays. I'm going to say the first one. The first one's going to be everybody's play because it's the one that everybody says they want to watch every day. Josh Allen on 4th-and-1 fumbles the ball, picks it up, and wills his way to a first down. For me, that's not it. For me, the play of that game, or the play that sticks out of my mind, is the in cut, the post, the little post route to Beasley. That was a tremendous throw. It was a tremendous catch. It was a tremendous route. Everything about that play for me was incredible. Incredible. Almost done. Week 13, Ravens. Lose to the Ravens 24-17. The thing that sticks out to me in this game is the Hayden Hurst long touchdown catch. Man, that hurt. And I think what throws me on that one is I was in the stands, and I remember watching the rush get to Lamar, and there was a little bit of... they didn't hit him low. They hit him in the top of the thighs, but it made Lamar kind of bend over funny, so I was watching that kind of unfold as far as what the defenders were doing, the defensive linemen with Lamar, and then like the crowd, I heard the crowd look to my left, and that's when Hayden Hurst is just jetting down the field. So that's what sticks out to me in that game. Week 14, Bills beat the Steelers 17-10. That's the duck game, right? And the Buffalo Bills defense made duck look like a duck. Week 15, Patriots 24-17. You know what? There's only one play that sticks out in everybody's mind in that game, and that's the fact that that Gilmore is still trying to find John Brown. Still hasn't found. We're a month removed from that game, and Gilmore still has no idea where John Brown went. And it was a thing of beauty. And then I've got one more game on here, and that's the Jets game last week. And the note that I have from that game is that was just a weird game, yo. That was a weird game. And it was weird because it didn't matter. We hadn't had one of those in a long time. It was weird because it was warm outside. It was weird because it was raining. It was weird because Matt Barkley was playing. It was weird because we didn't have a single defensive starter consistently in the game, and the Jets were still having a hard time against us. It was just a weird game. So my note for that game was weird. My takeaway for that last game was weird. But that's what I got for you guys. It has been a magical season. It has been incredible. And even as I finish up with that, and as energized and emotional as I was about the game on Saturday, at the beginning of this show, just reviewing what happened this season, the things that we got to see, the things that we as a fan got to experience, the ride that we've been on with this football team, and knowing that this team is still going up. They're not trending down. There's not going to be a fall off. They're not losing players. They've got $90 million to spend. They got 9 draft picks. They're going to be active in free agency. Knowing that Josh Allen is young, knowing that Devin Singletary is young, knowing that the offensive line, by and large, is young. We've got young pieces across this entire offense. The defense is stellar. That's what I'm excited about now. That's what's going to work me beyond and get me past the anger, the hurt, and the shock and surprise of what happened on Saturday. But I want to thank you guys for riding with me. I want to thank you for being with me. I want to thank you for being a part of this show. I want to thank you for every single tweet, every like, every retweet, every response. I want to thank you for everybody that has followed me on Twitter. And I just want to thank you guys just for being a part of the Overreaction Sports Podcast in 2019. There's some good stuff on the horizon for us. Some great things I think are going to happen next year. Just a lot of cool stuff coming. So with that, I just want to thank you guys one more time. Again, you've been listening to the Overreaction Sports Podcast. My name is Joe Miller. You can find me at Joe Miller Wired. I don't know what the offseason is going to look like, if I'm going to do shows or not. I might do one a month. I might do one every 2 weeks. I might do one a week. I'm not exactly sure. I definitely don't want to bore you. And I think everybody needs a little bit of a break. We probably need to kind of just rest and relax and like cleanse ourselves a little bit just for a minute. But there's a lot of great stuff that's going to happen this offseason. Stay tuned. Stay with me. Stay classy, San Diego. That's the only thing I can think to say at this point as I'm wrapping this thing up. Buffalo, I love you. I love this town. I love this football team. I love you guys. Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you for being on this ride with me. Go Bills.
Walmart has Straight Talk Wireless, so I can keep doing me. Like hitting up all my friends for a last-minute study sesh. Or curating the best pop playlists you've ever heard in your life. And even editing all my socials to keep up with what's new. Oh yeah, I look good. Post it. Which all in all suits my study poppy main character vibes to a T. Period. Find and shop your fave tech at Walmart.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Making your cat happy is a number one priority. Priority number two is keeping a clean litter box. Fresh Step Outstretch Litter helps you do both. Fresh Step Outstretch litter traps waste at the surface with less crumbles and absorbs more waste and odor compared to Fresh Step Multicat. Find Fresh Step Outstretch litter at a store near you today. Fresh Step is a registered trademark of the Clorox Pet Products Company. Certain trademarks used under license from the Procter & Gamble Company or its affiliates.
Wouldn't it be nice if we were always in control of the when and where in our lives?
Yeah, yes, I'll get you those figures today.
Mom, check it out. I learned a new song.
When and where you choose to do something can make all the difference. At University of Phoenix, we make it easy to balance work, family, and school. Plus, with online classes 24/7, you get the freedom to learn when and where you want. Start your degree in tech, healthcare, or business today at phoenix.edu.
Now, two pigeons and Coach Prime bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
These humans get the biggest college football games on DirecTV,
and we don't even get a satellite dish.
Enough squawking.
It's Coach Prime.
Bring it in. Sure, they could get all that college football without a dish, but you still got your passion, your drive, your resolve, your
incredible career as a football icon?
No, that's me.
Stream the biggest college football games. No satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com.